welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kaye in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. To learn more about Artists First radio programming, we invite you to visit our homepage, where you'll find an active list of weekly shows covering a broad range of topics. This hour on Authors First, it's my privilege to introduce our guest, Michelle Wilson. For your convenience, we have her web link and information placed on our homepage. She's the author of, oh, that's right, Anything Can Happen, My Journey from Despair to Healing, and then to Wholeness. So it's a spiritual show. I know you're going to enjoy it prayerfully. If you know others, you can certainly share the content of the broadcast on all of your social network websites. It's a lot of fun, and they'll enjoy the broadcast as well. Thank you so much, Michelle Wilson, for supporting the arts on Artists First Radio and for being our guest this hour. How do you do?
I am fine. How are you tonight?
Wow, what a wonderful time you're having as an author. And I know that it's a continuous journey of self-expression and exploring those deeper things that are meaningful to you. I believe that's where your heart, the things that you believe so strongly, are the motivating forces for your writing. Is that right?
Yes, that is exactly right. Things that I encountered during life is what prompted me to write Anything Can Happen.
And you know, that makes it real, don't you think? If it's meaningful to you, and your life experience, and you're effective at communicating that legitimate sense of belonging and your place in the world under God's care, then that can translate in touching so many others who are struggling with the same types of questions.
That's exactly correct. And, you know, in writing it, I was writing from experience and what I had gone through. So, you know, there was no right or wrong answers or anything like that. It was just an expression of my life. And I think that's what makes it so special because, you know, I was writing and sharing what I had previously went through. So it had more meaning to me than anything else.
How did this journey of becoming an author begin for you? I mean, obviously there was a time when you weren't thinking about having your ideas so readily available to the public, and then at one point in time you decided you wanted to write a book.
Well, you know, you're exactly correct. I am an educator by trade and have been for 30 years, and I never really thought about writing a book until I reached a period in my life where things kind of fell apart, and I felt that I needed to share my journey to healing and then how I got to wholeness. I felt what I had went through and made it through was something that could help many, many other people. And so I decided to jot my thoughts down. At first I thought about just writing an article for maybe Essence Magazine or any type of magazine. But then what I had encountered, I think, was more powerful than an article. So I decided to put it in the form of a book.
Anything Can Happen, My Journey from Despair to Healing, and then to Wholeness.
Yes.
A rather long title, but you wanted to capture some key ideas in that title.
Exactly. Anything Can Happen, you know, came as a thought of everything that had happened in my life. But as a subtopic, My Journey from Despair to Healing and then to Wholeness is something that I wanted others to see. And maybe thinking that that title could capture them in knowing that, well, this book is about someone's journey who went from despair in their life to healing. And healing wasn't enough. I had to go on to wholeness. So I added that subtopic hoping that it would be able to capture a lot of people who may be in despair and who are reaching towards getting wholeness in their lives.
Well, certainly it's a topic that crosses all economic lines.
Yes.
Certainly, you were a professional. You were educated. You were an educator.
Exactly.
30 years in your field, really knowing the loops, the hoops, all the things necessary to be a professional in your field. And yet, in that, there can be despair.
Exactly. That is so very true. And never did I think that I would write a book, but never did I also think everything that had happened in my life would have transpired.
And, you know, it's amazing how people think, if only, then I'll feel this way. If only I had more money. If only I had more education. If only I, then I'll find this peace.
Exactly. And sometimes people are searching all of their lives only to know that everything that they truly, truly need, they had it the entire time.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, I think, the folly of, or the wisdom of age. Let's not call it folly because we live that. But
yes,
now that we're looking back on our folly, we can say we have wisdom.
Yes, that's right. Most definitely.
Hopefully we can learn from our mistakes. I've had the privilege of meeting many people, of course, over the years of doing radio and personally, and it's amazing how a common attribute is, it's if you make 10 decisions, the trick is to make the fewest mistakes.
Exactly. That is correct. That is so correct.
And that's very much the way life is, learning. But
right.
we have the Holy Spirit. We have the grace of God. We have some guidance in the Holy Scriptures that we can reference to ground us in
exactly. In
some principles of spirituality. And so in your despair, that's where you were led.
Exactly. That's where I was led. Although, I was raised in a Christian home. But when you truly come to the point where you need to put what you were taught and what you learned as a Christian into play, truly comes to life, and it really, really makes the world a difference.
Well, you know, there's systematic theology. We learn it and memorize it from our youth. There's that, and then there's the practical theology of my life is rubbing in the world somehow.
That's correct. Exactly. And I realized through my journey that anything in life can happen. You know, we are not above or beyond anything happening in our life. And things happened in my life that I never, never would have anticipated, never thought would happen. And it all just seems like the first chapter is called When the Bottom Fell Out. And at one point in my life, I feel that the bottom actually fell out.
Well, you know, I've neglected to mention the middle name referenced, Michelle. Is it Aiken?
Aiken, that is correct.
Does Aiken sort of fit with despair? I'm Aiken.
Oh, no. I never thought of it like that.
I'm hurting for you.
I know, I got you.
Ah, okay. just kidding. Listen, I've been amiss. What's the website?
Okay, my website is www.anything-can-happen.com. If you put a hyphen between each word, it'll take you right there. Or you can Google Michelle Aiken Wilson, and my website will come up.
And believe me, audience, that hyphen is not a liberal thing.
No.
Just letting you know. Okay. Michelle Wilson, you're so kind, generous. Thank you for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio and for allowing Tony Kay to be your instrument of torture for the next hour. Audience, questions, comments, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. Otherwise, enjoy the show, have fun, and certainly visit the website. We will have the broadcast made available free on demand in MP3 format. That doesn't mean you need to go away now. You can still stay. But you'll be able to share that link with everyone you know forever. So have a great time with the MP3 broadcast audience. Michelle Wilson, author of Anything Can Happen, My Journey from Despair to Healing, and then wholeness. What a journey. Now, what prompted you to write a book ultimately? Were you journaling initially? How did the genesis of the book begin?
Yes, well, you know, I did a lot of journaling. That's something that I had been doing for a lot of years. I did a lot of journaling, and I saw that things that I were going through, so many other people were going through also. And so I journaled, and I collect my thoughts. And, you know, there were times when I stopped journaling for a while, and I would go back, and I would try to catch up, you know, if it wasn't by day, by things that I remembered that happened by the week. And then it culminated that I had several journals. And, you know, they were all dated, so I could kind of put them, this almost like a library of journals. And it had in it such a wealth of information. And individuals that knew me and knew my life and what I was going through had even asked if I was going to share my thoughts with others. You know, I've done speaking engagements of that nature. But I felt a book, having something in the hand that somebody can use, was really fruitful. And that's why I put it all together, and anything can happen.
Yeah, now, this is very much your story. It's personal, but you have also done some editorial work, obviously. You're not sharing some things with us, are you?
Yeah, I am. I am sharing. I am sharing Anything Can Happen with you tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So then in this journal, how personal are you getting? I mean, do you have interest in other men, women, or opinions about people that perhaps shouldn't be divulged? Did you change the names to protect the guilty? I mean,
well, in some places I changed the name.
Yeah, I mean,
because in some places I did, but in a whole lot of places I didn't. I got permission to use real names.
I mean, you might say, you know, I'm really upset at my aunt because of the hat she wore, but or I thought that my girlfriend's new man was more attracted to me.
Okay.
So,
well,
I mean, that really doesn't fit the theme, is all I'm getting at, is that your journals are very personal things. Now.
Journals are very personal.
At least as I think of them.
I pulled from my journal to put in my book. I did it with tack. There are places in there that some things could be felt upon by certain individuals in my life as, oh, my God, I can't believe she put it in there.
Right.
But things that I put in there, you know, it was honest and true, and the individuals that there are about, they know that and are accepting of it.
And Michelle, you might read a passage in your journal and that solidify a theological concept, a biblical concept, a lesson learned, and that you're elaborating on, is my point, that it isn't strictly a journal in the sense
of... No, it's not, and you know, it is so amazing that you just said that, because at the end of every chapter of my book, I have lessons learned.
Yes.
I have lessons learned. And so I summarize at the end of every chapter what I learned through this phase of my life, what I learned that individuals can carry away from them and apply to their life. And for those who have bought my book and read it, so many have come back to me and said that the lessons learned at the end of every chapter were very, very powerful. Because it was something that they could relate to and that they could transfer and use to help their lives.
Now, audience, if you know a young lady or man, young gentleman, and I mean like in the 20s, 26, 27, 28, or early 30s even, you have to give them this book.
Yes, you really do.
You do. You have to give them this book right away.
Yes.
Because... they're in that transitional period of, I want my independence, but at the same time, I am a child.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing that you talk about individuals in their 20s, because the culminating part for me, that when I felt that I had just totally lost all hope, was when my son, who was 21 years old at the time, was murdered. And after a long chain of events that happened and my son was murdered, that's when I felt that the bottom had fell out. So, you know, I say that because, you know, you said, you know, those who are listening should really, if they have no individuals in their 20s, should give them this book. It is really, really powerful because I tell about what happened in that incident and being left with three surviving children. And my husband had died 2 years prior to that. I tell about how my children and I made it to where we are today.
That's why I bridged the question the way that I did, Michelle, out of respect for you.
Yes.
Feel free. We really want to know what pivotal role that experience played in this book, because really it is an expression and dedication to
yes,
your
child. Yes, it is. Yeah, and, you know, I think that to that point when my son was murdered, I realized that I had to, at first I was putting all of my feelings into writing. That was a release. And after journaling for a while, I said, you know what, I need to write about this that it would help other people. Because the chain of events that occurred came from, it started in 2002 when I, first of all, my father died. And then about a year later, my mother died. And 5 months after my mother died, my husband was killed in a car accident. And just a year before that, I had found out about infidelity on his part, which was still another loss. My best friend, who I confided in the most, died the next year. My son was sent to Iraq, the same son that I lost, only to return home safe and sound to be murdered in Columbia, South Carolina. So with this chain of events and losses and my journaling, I felt that I had to share with others how they can go through all of this and still make it to wholeness.
Very much the real life journey of Job.
Yes. And in my book, I reference...
I only mean that by saying right when you think, I've reached the bottom. How could I be wounded any
exactly.
more deeply?
Something else happens. Exactly. And in my book, I reference Job. You know, during that time after my son died, that's when I really, really began to study the book of Job. You know, I asked family members to bring me books, and they brought me books on Job. And I began to study. I had always heard that Job was a patient man, and that's all that I'd ever heard. But when all of this happened, I spent days and weeks, and that's how I got through, because I would read the chapters in the Bible, and I would read books about Job and how he made it through. And that's what truly told me, if you just hold on, that God is going to give you double for your trouble.
Michelle, have you ever eaten a pizza and burned the roof of your mouth?
Yes.
It's kind of a boil, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How would you like to have those all over your body?
Exactly.
Tell
he
me.
He had it from his head to his toes.
Yeah, I mean.
From his head to his feet, that's correct.
Now, despair is painful.
Yes, it is.
Now, it may not be a wound that we have on our flesh.
Exactly. It may not be something that you can see, but what it does to the inside is just mind-boggling.
And yet through that pain, through that fire, through that journey, then the fineness of the gold, the quality of the gem, the refinement of the diamond, it all can become something that glorifies the vessel that God has made.
Yes, it is. And, you know, in writing my book, I just put my heart into it. And since it was released on January the 8th, it has sold almost 500 copies. And I receive cards in the mail. I receive emails, phone calls. Oh, my gosh, you know, Ms. Wilson, you did it. Because I explained how I felt through everything and how God brought me through everything. I really just spilled my inside in this book, Anything Can Happen.
Well, and think of the lives that book will touch.
Yes.
If 500 read the book and share it with 500 more, 1,000
exactly.
or 500 more, it has a life of its own, even a year, 5 years, 10 years from
exactly.
now. It's there as a memorial to the experience that you had.
Exactly. That's right.
With your son and with your family and your journey that brought you to wholeness.
Exactly. Through to wholeness through Christ. And I, you know, I make sure that I reiterate to everybody that the message in the book is what is so powerful to me. I don't have to profit anything. It's not the money, it's the message. And that's what just really, really carries me forth. When someone calls me and said, oh, my God, your book touched my life, that means more to me than anything else in the world right now.
Well, we know the Lord is the potter and we are the clay, and he will break us and make us to his will and glory.
Yes.
And the things that we go through in life have a purpose, have a message, have meaning.
That's correct.
Now,
that's correct.
When we think of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, those become what we call sacraments, those sacred things that
that's
he
correct.
Experienced. And so as Christians, we're drawn to that.
Yes, yes.
That we can lay it at the foot of the cross.
That's right. And you know, it is so easy when you're not really going through to say that you would be able to do that, to give it to him. But when you're actually going through problems and trials and tribulations, it's hard. It's really hard because you have a tendency to want to carry the burdens yourself. And I had to get to the point that I had to answer a question to myself. And that question was, do I turn the tragedy that I'm going through into triumph, or do I give up and die? And that question circled in my head so many times, and I realized that I preferred triumph to death. But I had to find a way to do it. You know, it's easy to say it, but to actually do it and to internalize it within you is a hard thing.
Tony Kaye in the studio with our guest, Michelle Aiken Wilson, author of Anything Can Happen, My Journey from Despair to Healing, and then to Wholeness. I'd like to welcome our listeners from all points of the globe, especially our military personnel in Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the Middle East and Europe. Thank you for being our guest this hour. I know that it's in the wee hours of the evening for you. Thank you for tuning in to Artist First Radio. We'd love to have you every Tuesday. Well, every day, actually. You're here all the time. We love it, and we're proud to offer quality broadcast and guests like Michelle Aiken Wilson. Now, audience out there, you're on the artistfirst.com homepage. You'll see that we have her listed. We will, with the show, include the link for her website so that you can buy the book and have it delivered wherever you'd like. Maybe you have a loved one back in the States. You want to purchase something wonderful for them. This would be a great compliment to their spiritual growth and life. So, Michelle, thanks for laying it all out. You know, it's a difficult thing to be an author and to probe deeply into yourself and say, I'm going to share it with the world. I'm going to lay
exactly.
it out. That's tough to do.
It is tough, but it has brought so much healing to me. But it was a tough thing to do. You know, some parts of it I wasn't sure whether I should include. But I felt if I did not include as much of it as possible, it wouldn't have as much meaning to those who may be going through the same thing.
Well, losing a mate, losing a child, those are just life-altering wounds.
Exactly, that's correct.
And, you know, mostly you want to hold back.
Right.
But you chose otherwise.
I chose otherwise. I chose to write about it so that it can help others, because I want others to realize if I can make it, you can make it too. And what you may be going through may not be quite as bad when you hear what I went through. So it's something to give others hope.
Well, you know, it's very much like studying to be a journeyman audience, you know.
Right.
If you want to be a carpenter or any trade, you've got to get your hands dirty. You have to learn the skill. You have to have the tools, the equipment necessary to do that craft.
That's correct.
Exactly. And of course, we know as spiritual people that we're to put on the whole armor of God.
Exactly. I referenced that in my book also.
And so that process is different for everyone.
That's correct.
You know, depending on the battle that we're about fight or wage.
Yes.
You know, strategically, think of it as a soldier.
That's
so,
correct.
So every time we go through a life-altering experience of loss and pain and struggling with our faith, our beliefs in Christ and his promises, and we're groping for the answers.
Yes, exactly. And that's one thing that I dealt with, especially when everything came back to back to back to back. I really did. You know, my question so many times was why? You know, why is this happening? Why me? And I finally realized, why not me? But that was a struggle that I did have.
Well, it is, but now that it's, you've gone through that process, you've discovered that wholeness.
Yes, I have. That is so correct.
And I know that it's like a wound, audience. There's a scar.
Yes.
And it takes time for the body to heal and for you to move on. Or it's very much like losing a limb, an arm, an eye.
Exactly.
A leg. It takes time to rehabilitate yourself spiritually, physically, and to adapt to the new situation that you're in.
Exactly. That's correct.
And you had that journey.
Yes, I did have that journey.
You know, it takes time to mourn. Years.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Of suffering and wondering and questioning. And that's what I want our audience to understand, Michelle. This wasn't a flippant experience. This was something that you struggled with for a very long time.
Oh, yes, I did. And in my book, I tell you to what extent that I went to find wholeness in my life again. You know, I had to go through a process. I had to go through a process of learning how to forgive. I had to go through a process of learning to trust the decisions of God, even though they weren't the things that I felt should have happened or how my life should have been. But I realized that I had to trust the decisions of God. I had to also realize that life is not all or nothing. You know, there is some gray there. It's not all or nothing. So it was a process that I went through, and I went through many measures. I went through medication. I went through local counseling. I even went through to the point of going to an experiential therapy facility called OnSite that I went to for a week that I was able to, and everyone there, it was called a life-centered program, and it was a program that was to help all individuals to put their life back on center again. Because when all of these things are happening in your life, it knocks you off center. And really, at some times, you don't know where you are or where you're going or how you're going to get there. So that program was one that was designated to put you back on center again. So, you know, it wasn't any magic bullet, any magic thing that brought me to wholeness. It was a process that I had to go through. And I realized that I had to trust the process in order to get to wholeness in my life.
Trauma, you know, that it's like impact, being in a vehicle that suddenly comes to a stop, you know, and going through the windshield, life altering, but on an emotional level, psychological level.
Yes.
You know, all of the things that were structured familiar to you, mm-hmm. proud of your children, their, you know, of what they were offering and hope for the future for them and
exactly.
so forth. And a mate and a relationship that you believe was founded and solid. And so, you know, those are lots of conflicting, a lot of people just crumble.
Yes,
just
they
literally.
Do. And, you know, you mentioned the emotional and the mental, and those things were so, so evident. And what they did, they affected me physically. So physically, I was beginning to be ill. It was just affecting my body in every way possible.
And so that's where I want the next segment to go, Michelle.
Okay.
Really, this painful, long journey, now you're an author. You have a platform. Your message is out there to be able to help people that are struggling with the same types of issues and problems. You can offer hope and wholeness to them because of the despair that you've lived through.
That's exactly.
And at the same time, all of it giving glory and praise to God,
yes.
who really allowed you to recognize his power and his strength.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, I've been an educator for 30 years. I taught for 9 years. I was an assistant principal, and I've been a principal for 14 years. And education has always been my love. That has just been my driving force. But now, at this point in my life, and I still love educating children, but now, at this point in my life, at age 50, and I just feel such a drive to be an author and to promote Anything Can Happen, because it is something that happened to me that I feel can help so many other people. And so that is now a passion that I have. You know, I have a lot of speaking engagements that have been offered to me and book signings. And this is just something that I really, really love, because it's me and it's my life.
Michelle, this is a message you can take as a 30-minute presentation to groups, not only church group, Christian groups, but other organizations as well.
Right, that's correct.
In your own area and beyond. And it's a fabulous, and they will pay you to come and speak.
Right.
You can charge a fee, and then you can display on a table your product, your books, your T-shirts, whatever you wish. But and then you may make some sales there, but what's more important is that you're touching lives.
And that is the key, Tony. That's exactly what I want to do. That is more important to me than anything else, is just to be able to touch some lives.
Right. I mean, Jesus came and he said, I'll just need a dozen. Just give me 12 apostles. Come on. Now, he could have said, give me an army. No. Legion. About 10,000. I'll train them. No. Just give me a dozen guys.
Just a few. And, you know, that's what I said previously. When someone sends me a card and says, your book touched me, I was up all night reading it. That does more to me than anything else. It really, really does, because I want it to be an inspiration for others.
Now, those of you who have church groups, Bible studies, where you discuss themes and topics or read books, this is a great book to have for your group.
Right.
You could buy 20 copies. It's very affordable.
Yes, exactly. And I'm also right now working on a reading guide that I will offer through my website, and it will have questions and group study, sessions planned out for a study group, what they can do as they go through each individual chapter. And I am going to put that on my website, because I want it to be something that, a group can sit down and say, okay, we're going to read the chapter about forgiveness, setting the prisoner free, and giving steps and strategies on how you truly forgive. Because one thing that I struggled with was thinking, if I forgive this individual, that I'm condoning that what they did was right. And I learned that is not forgiveness. So some of us, there are certain things in life that we think are so simple, but that individuals don't truly understand. And those are things that I address in Anything Can Happen.
And, a lot of times our young people are going through issues and it's difficult to relate. I like the fact that really this book encompasses a younger period in your life. It isn't just one generation.
No, it's not.
So whether you're 18 or 80, it's a great book.
Yes, that is so true.
And well organized, and a wonderful platform to explore themes, biblical themes. And you're going to come out with a compliment manual.
Yes, we're going to have a compliment reading guide. If you look on my website, I do have that tab that's
the website.
Listed. It's listed, but then there's nothing under it yet because we're still in the process of writing it.
Go ahead. Shamelessly give out your website.
My website is www.anything-can-happen.com. Or you can Google my name, Michelle Akin Wilson, and my website will come up. Or you can email me at michelle@akinwilson.com.
Oh, I like that. We'll have to do it again. But now remember, everyone, the show is archived as an MP3, which means you can go back and, listen to this a couple of times until you write it down.
Okay?
But just so you know, Michelle, when we archive the broadcast, we'll include your website.
Awesome.
They'll be able to listen and click and look at you and your website all at the same time. What about Twitter and social network sites?
Yes, I am on Twitter and Facebook. I don't do Twitter as much as I should, but I am on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook, Michelle Aiken Wilson.
All right. Well, there you go. I mean, it's important to have those today.
Yes, it is.
Have you thought about writing a blog or no time for that?
Well, I have thought about it. My publicist has encouraged me into doing it. But like I said, still working full-time as a principal, you know, makes that kind of hard. But it's something I'm going to look into hopefully this summer.
How many students?
I have 465 students in my school. And my school is located in Utahville, South Carolina.
That's a full-time job.
That's a full-time job. Yes, it is.
Well, I believe it. And thank you for your service to your community and to those young people. They're very fortunate to have someone morally grounded, someone who understands the value of living a spiritual life. I think that is a great gift you're giving them.
Thank you so much, Tony.
And so in your community, are there local venues that you can set up? Does the student body know that you have this book?
Oh, most definitely. The student body definitely knows about the book. Most of their parents are buying it. It has been in the local newspapers, the Times and Democrat out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. It's been in that paper. And in a local paper, Holly Hill Observer. So it's out there, and everyone in my community knows. My parents are very, very supportive. My staff, the staff of St. James Gilliard Elementary School, are very supportive also.
Thank you for not sending me 480 emails. You know how to reach. You know how to reach the principal yourself. Okay,
that's it. That's
but hey, everybody, you'll have this MP3, so be sure to share it with the universe. Okay, it's out there. And what a great time you're having! Now, as an author, you're going to be retiring soon.
Well,
two more years.
I still have two children in school. I have a son who's a senior this year. He'll be graduating in May and he'll be going to college in Florida. And I have a daughter that's in 10th grade. So once she graduates, I'll kind of look at that and into doing my public speaking and everything full-time.
So in the meanwhile, it's an avocation. You're writing and speaking. And at some point when you're prepared to retire, you can make it your full-time vocation.
Exactly. And that is what I truly, truly want to do. You know, my goal is to be able to travel worldwide and to be on the national speaker circuit and to be able to do workshops, to do motivational speeches, and just to be able to work with individuals, letting them know that there is a journey that you can go through that will lead to healing and then to wholeness.
Well, I only have one challenge. It's a modest one.
Uh-huh.
While you're there, I'd like to see the screenplay. I'd like to see the drama acted out, the play.
Exactly.
By the student body on stage.
Yes, that would be awesome.
I think it could be done.
Yeah, I think it can be done, too. I have that drive, and you're going to hear a whole lot more about anything can happen.
Anything can happen. It really can.
Anything can happen. That's right. It may be a Lifetime movie. It may be a Tyler Perry movie. But it's going to be on the big screen.
Queen Latifah.
That's right. That's right.
I love that lady. Okay. Right in there. Okay.
Right in there. You're exactly right.
We need to have the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way that it's lived out.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately today we avoid pain at all costs, including the pain of the cross. But
that's
you're
right.
Not going to be a Christian without it, okay?
Exactly.
And
that
so
is so, so true.
Take up your cross
exactly.
And follow me, Jesus said. So
yes.
Trauma will happen. Life.
It will.
But we can use those ashes as the soil for new growth.
Most definitely. Exactly right. And especially, Tony, in the day and time that we live in now, our world is so uncertain. And I learned on my journey that when you have nothing else to hold on to, you do have Christ.
Well, we used to live in the security that our schools were safe until
That's right.
Columbine.
Exactly.
We used to believe that religion could exist peacefully until we had Waco.
Exactly.
Or the People's Temple, which goes back to my era.
Yes.
There are things that will wound those who need to have faith, and those who have faith can survive the struggle and come out with a message to help that generation and that situation. And Michelle Wilson, that's what you're doing. You're bridging the gap. And thank you so much. Now, have you thought, in addition to having your material on stage, have you thought about a sequel? Where are we headed next?
Well, you know, my plans are to write the sequel, because my book ends with telling about, you know, my son died, but, you know, it was murder. And we went through the trial a year ago this past September. So I do plan on writing Anything Can Happen, the trial. And I want to tell individuals who have really not ever had to deal with the judicial system before, which was me. I had never had to deal with that before. But what I went through, and I want to go through every day that I sat behind the solicitor, and how the trial went on, the process that the victim's advocate walked us through. I want to be able to share that with others, because there are so many people out there that don't know that, you know, how it feels to be a victim. And so that is my goal, is to do a sequel, Anything Can Happen, the trial.
Well, I want in that research, because I know that you love literature, you love reading, you made a life of being an educator and educating yourself. And I want you to look at very carefully at the statistic of the number of families affected by murder in the United States alone.
Exactly.
It's
right.
A big number, I'm
it's
sorry to
number.
Say.
And you know what I have done, Tony? In this area, if it is possible to get in touch with someone, or others know to call me if someone has had lost a child to murder. Even I'll go if a child is lost anyway. But I make it a point to go to that family, especially the mom or the father, and to let them see that if I can make it, you can make it too. So many times I won't stay any more than 5 or 10 minutes. You know, I just want them to know, and most of the individuals would know me, but if not, I would let them know that I experienced the murder of a child, and look at me. I'm still here, so you can make it too. And I try to do that, and I try to keep up with the families for at least a month or so, you know, after they've buried their child. Because losing a child goes against nature. Our children are supposed to bury us. So now, I try to reach out, you know, to families who are going through the same thing.
All right, Michelle Wilson. Now, just a few weeks ago on the Artist First Radio Network, we had John Ashton.
Okay.
On the radio network.
Yes.
He's written a book about the Casey Anthony trial.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yes, you're very familiar with that.
And
the way that it played out in the death of that young child and the mother and the family.
Horrible.
And I think that much of America saw those horrific scenes and statements made derogatorily toward the parents and so forth.
Yes.
And very much the drama that we saw there played out in your own life.
Exactly. And, you know, it really hurt when you have to sit there and listen to defense attorneys try to discredit. It was almost that they were trying to win by any means necessary. That's what it felt like to me. And the victim's advocate was absolutely wonderful, because she warned me and she told me, now they will try to discredit your son. In the same incident, my nephew was also shot, and he's a paraplegic. He's paralyzed from the waist down. And they tried so hard to discredit. But those who know the judicial system, like my victim's advocate, was awesome, because she told me. She said, now, this is what they're going to do. So she prepared me along the way, which did not make it any better, because it hurt so bad to see that they were trying by any means necessary to get these boys to be freed, in which they were not.
And who wants to be in that circumstance? No one.
No one.
And yet, in a moment, without any cause of your own, you're plunged into that situation.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And you're told to sit there and not show any expressions, any emotions, or anything, but just sit there with a blank look on your face.
You know? Yeah, so I mean, so it's really different. As if you should be devoid of the fact that a human being,
yes,
someone you gave birth to,
yes,
is now no longer here.
Exactly.
They're here,
that's
but
right,
he's not.
Exactly. And it is a hurt beyond measure. It really is.
And the media is unforgiving.
Yes, they
and
are.
And as you mentioned, the legal system is unforgiving.
That's correct.
And if you try, and they view it as swaying the jury, if you were to break down,
exactly,
and weep and show the true emotion and love you have for your child and their innocence and the magnificence of their life.
That's right.
That has been stolen.
Exactly.
But if you demonstrate any of those attributes, well, you're dismissed.
Exactly. That is so, so very true.
And I think it's important for you to tell that message.
Exactly.
And the voice of so many thousands across our nation and our world will be heard.
Exactly. That is so, so true. And that's why I've decided to do a second book, Anything Can Happen, The Trial. And I want to be able to walk individuals through that entire judicial system, how it works, and what victims' families go through. I want to be able to share that journey also.
Well, thank you, Michelle Wilson, for being our guest on Authors First. It's been my privilege, Tony Kaye, to introduce you to our
thank
worldwide
you
audience. We wish you all of the best in your venture and your education, the privilege of your students to know you, and the offering that you bring from your journaling in this book and future documents yet to come.
Thank you so much.
It's a tremendous accomplishment. We're very proud. Thank you for giving back.
Thank you so much.
I've seen other professionals do as you have done, to give back and to have something permanent of record that can grow and prosper and benefit others.
Exactly.
And it's very admirable. I really appreciate and respect it.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for allowing me to be on.
Well, I'm not letting you go just yet, because
okay,
at the conclusion of every broadcast, I always ask the guest,
yes,
is there anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
Well, at this time, I would like to say hello to my three children, Carlton, Melissa, and Nicole Wilson, and to my grandbaby, Corinthian. I would also like to say hello to my siblings. I have a sister, Gwendolyn, who lives in New Orleans. I have a brother who coaches for the Arizona Cardinals, Ron, and his wife, Cheryl. I have a brother in New York I would like to give a shout-out to, Harry Aiken, Jr., and a sister, Dolores, who's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And also, I would like to give a shout-out to my school family, St. James Gaillard Elementary School, and all those that work in Orangeburg County Consolidated School District 3.